lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil,
and Janice.
Good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil for this August, for this Tuesday, August 30th, 2016, broadcasting to you live on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto, Canada, and streaming to you live on the web at songtalk.ca/livestream. Song Talk Radio is a show with songwriters talking to other songwriters all about the craft of songwriting. Brand new songwriters or established professionals or anything in between, together we will share tips, techniques, and we'll share cool things found, and hopefully by the end we will all learn at least three new things, maybe four new things about how to write a better song. Tonight I am your host. My name is Phil Emery, and joining me tonight as always, and actually a full house tonight, the very dedicated members of Team Alpha Awesome. Mr. Neil Modi.
Good evening, everybody.
Mr. Bruce Harrett.
Hello.
And, of course, bravely managing our social media onslaught is Janice Ho.
Good evening.
And back with us is Nicole DiDonato.
Hey.
Hey.
She waved.
She's on the controls tonight. And during the show, don't forget, you can always join in the conversation and send in your comments and questions to Song Talk Radio on Twitter, and we will share them with the audience in real time. And please don't forget to stop by our website at songtalk.ca and find out how you can be a guest on this very show. And tonight, we're excited because our guest is Jules. She is not your average 15-year-old. Picking up a guitar at the age of six is no easy task, but it provided Jules with the ability to express herself in terms well beyond her years. Jules has already released an EP entitled Heart of Armor, which was produced by fellow Canadian songstress Karen Kowalski, has worked with Ashen Bloom and Alec. She was back on our show initially in July 21st of 2015. Jules, thanks for coming back onto the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, Jules certainly blew us away last time she was here. She's got an amazing songwriter and had some amazing songs. And you got some new and exciting news to tell us soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yes. But
we'll talk.
We get into that.
All right.
We're going to be talking about some reader emails or listener emails.
Listener emails.
Yes. Mm. But I'm sure some of them read as well.
They read the website.
We love getting reader listener emails. Yes. Thanks so much. The first one is Mike M. From Toronto. He's a completist. He's actually been listening to all our shows starting from the very beginning.
He has proof of this?
He does. And so that's been a bit of a some of the shows are a bit rough.
Send him a chocolate bar.
He was talking about
a t-shirt.
About episode 100.
I don't have any.
Tell Neil the word he was looking for narration by an inanimate object is prosopia.
Prosopia?
Yes, that's okay. The term for narration of an inanimate object.
For narration, okay.
Yes, for the brake pad song.
Cool.
And,
thank you, Mike.
We're also talking to about Midnight Train to Georgia, mm-hmm. a great song. And he wanted to point out that Midnight Train to Georgia is sung in the first person, but the backup singers sing in the second person.
What?
So the main line is he's leaving on a midnight train, Dolores. I'll go with him.
Yeah.
And the background singers are singing, she's leaving on a midnight train to Georgia.
Well, if the lead singer is singing he and they're singing she, they're both second person.
Yeah.
So no, because she's talking about, and I'll go with him when he.
Oh, I'll go with him.
Yeah. Oh, so that's first person.
That's first person.
Oh.
Which I thought was kind of an interesting point. Actually.
Oh,
wow.
So thanks, Mike.
Go. Trivia.
And we got one from Esteban Von Trompo. My name is Esteban Von Trompo. I live in San Jose in Costa Rica.
Oh.
I've listened to the Song Talk Radio for a few months, and it is good. Thank you for a most excellent show. Thank you. Phil always says that the title for a song is important because every song is a single today. This is interesting, but when you have many songs, only the feature song needs to have a good title because when you search for the popular song, you will even find other songs with weird titles too. Oh. This is my thinking. I hope you understand that English is not my first language. thanks, Esteban, which I thought was an interesting
point. That's a very good point, isn't it? The one song leads you to all the other ones, which are right beside it on YouTube or on SoundCloud, right?
So you can still do ones with the interesting title or the different title.
Yeah. You know, what do you think, Jules? I mean, do you...
I think the name of the song is actually really important. I think that it can tell a lot about the song itself, so... I think he's...
The point was that Phil's always making the point that your title should always be very apparent in the song. Right, so that when people search you online or in iTunes or something, it's very easy to find. But what this person was saying was that as soon as you hit that artist, you're going to find their whole catalog, or at least many of their other songs. True. So only really the single, so to speak, has to have a memorable, easy to remember title.
And I think if you actually had maybe like a really weird title for a song, I think that might people might actually be inspired to click on it too.
That's
an interesting. I never really thought about that. You know, because. Mm-hmm. Some ways everything is a title, but there's lots of different ways of attracting people to your stuff online.
Yeah, to your full repertoire.
Yeah.
All you have to do is get them there, wherever there is, right, with some way, and that's the whole thing about marketing.
If you search it on iTunes, you'll hit the artist's entire, everything they've got on iTunes, right?
Yeah. That's true, if you know what the artist, of course.
But as soon as you find the song, you'll click and you'll see the rest of
them. And if the name's cool, maybe people will want to listen to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
If the name is cooler.
Well, that's the hardest thing about being actually in the music industry now, is like back in the day, all you had to worry about is whether or not there was another band that had the same name in your city or in your country.
Yeah.
Now you have to like search all over the globe. And, you know, so that's why like people are just making up words now, because what else can you do, you know?
I'm going to change my name to Cooler.
Cooler?
Because you said it was cooler if you have a cool name.
Yeah.
Cooler.
I'll just call myself Cooler.
Is that what's spelled with
the K? Never mind, you can proceed with the show now.
Is it spelled with the K?
Yeah.
When no one else supports that, I will.
Okay, Cooler.
So, Jules, you've had a pretty busy year since you've been on the show.
Yes, I have.
And you got some new exciting news.
Yes. So, I will be releasing my new EP in the spring.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah, and it's awesome because it's actually, I won a Factor grant.
Woo!
Thank you.
That's amazing. It's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's called the Juried Factor Sound Recording Grant, I think. Yes. Yeah. And, we get money to record and money for marketing.
Wow.
So it's going to be a 6 or 7 EP, and I'm really excited.
That's great. Now, what was the process of going through a Factor grant? Like, can you maybe explain to what people who don't know?
So you're better off getting a grant writer just because they know what Factor is looking for and they can really help you out. You have to have a producer on your side, which we did. And you have to have 2 demos of kind of the sound that you want and the vision and the direction that you're going into.
Oh, okay.
Just so they know, because remember, they're giving you money, right? They want to make sure that you're using it and that you're going to follow through. So you have to have a really good idea of what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
So and this is federal government or?
I think it is.
Yeah, me too.
I think so.
Yes.
Factor stands for something, but fun, some fun. But, but so are you the youngest one in history to have won?
We're actually trying to figure that out right now. My manager is looking into that. He says he really wants to find out if I'm the youngest one.
Yeah, because then you can get some press on that when you release. Really,
and other news that I just mentioned, I did just sign a management deal with the Cool Planet Entertainment, working with Todd Arkell and Cameron Carpenter. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Great.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Amazing.
Where are they based? Are they here in Toronto?
Yes.
Great.
You see, you come on Song Talk Radio when everything happens.
Exactly.
You know, I think that's what it is.
Totally.
I think that was the turning point, actually,
last July.
That was
really July. The starting point. Yeah.
Everything got better.
Now, you've actually been playing a lot of live shows, too.
Yes, I have.
And there's been an interesting situation because you played bars, but of course you're not able to
drink. I've played at the Hard Rock, which is obviously not an all-ages venue. I played at Hugh's Room, which is an all-ages venue. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard also finding venues, right, to play with a band and just as a solo artist, because a lot of times it's places where they're serving alcohol and stuff, so I can't play there. But I got some, and I had to get, like, my mom beside me and stuff because I had to have parent supervision and... it's sometimes a struggle, but we overcome it. And sometimes we'll play at like Indie Tuesdays at bars in Toronto, and where it's like for all ages. They'll make it a night where it's for all ages. Oh, so I'll tend to do gigs like that.
Oh, cool.
Have you tried to get into any festivals?
Yeah, I just performed at Youth Day in Toronto.
Okay.
and the Waterfront Festival, and we do a Rib Fest sometimes. So I try to play at those festivals.
Cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
I just want to get back to the factory. Can you sort of describe what it was like to go through that process? I mean, does it take a year or 6 months? Or?
It was about, I would say, 7 months. 7 months.
Mm. 7 months, okay.
Yeah, up to a year. And I remember I was in the car with my dad driving, and we got a phone call from my mom. I just got the email. We won Factor. It was awesome. Mm. I was very proud of myself, I guess I would say, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of people who go for Factor grants.
Yeah.
How do you find a grant writer? Do you Google grant writers?
Yes.
we had a publicist at the time who helped us find that. I guess it's just through contacts.
Yeah, so there are people who actually hire themselves out to fill out the grant the right way, and they're in the music industry.
Yeah, they know the process better.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know it's not an easy thing to
It's a long process, and you're better off having someone that knows it so you're not doing anything wrong, or I recommend it.
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot of good professional advice early in your career.
Yeah.
Which is going to bode well because it can be bumpy ride, right? It's a pretty crazy, kooky world of professional music.
Yeah, I would say having a really strong team behind you is good. People that you trust to help you make decisions, because I'm young, so I need help making these tough decisions, right? So having a strong foundation behind you, I think, is really important.
How much are your parents involved in your career at this point?
A lot. They're there with me all the time. They help me throughout everything.
So when will they be able to, quit their jobs and just work for you?
We'll have to see.
21?
That's right.
Let's do that by 18. Let's make that a goal. So Dad can just work for you, and you'll be his boss.
I will be his boss.
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect.
They'll be your peeps, right?
And then every child's dream.
Boss of your crew, right?
Yeah.
Now, because you also you came in second in the International Songwriting Competition?
Yeah, I did, but... Other news, more.
Wow. Oh, there's more.
I was a finalist in the Unsigned Only. It's a songwriting competition.
Oh, yes.
And I'm the finalist. I don't know if I've won yet. I haven't figured that out yet. But I'm a finalist, which means I'm top 15, I think. Yeah. And
that's amazing.
In the teen category. So that's pretty cool. And
what's the prize?
It's bad that I don't know.
Oh.
It's not. I think it is fairly substantial. It's a good chunk of money and equipment and stuff. And
yeah. I think I'm the only Canadian, too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's.
Is this a U.S.-based?
It's a worldwide.
It's worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah, ISC. I think they also do it. Did they also do the John Lennon?
Actually,
songwriting?
I've heard of that. There's a John. Yeah. There's a competition. Yeah.
Yeah. If Canadian Idol was still on TV, it's not, is it?
No, they finished their last season.
Yeah. If it was still on TV, would you apply and go on there?
Maybe. Hmm. I'm really into the whole organic growth.
Yeah.
So keep it small, local Toronto live, rather than trying to get a TV gig now.
We had one of our guests, I think it was Taylor and Bryn. Mm-hmm. Taylor had said he was on Canadian Idol.
Right.
Oh, that's
not as a finalist, but he said it was really kind of kooky.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Not a good experience.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
well, it's about making good television. It's not really about talent. It's making good television.
It may work for some people. I'm into the whole organic growth, gaining your local fans and then making it bigger as you grow.
Has your songwriting habits changed? Because you've got lots of other stuff happening. How are you fitting songwriting into the day to day?
How is my songwriting?
How do you find time to actually do it?
All balance. We have a calendar on our fridge, and I have to just look at it all the time to make sure that I have time for everything. And you just have to balance.
Wow, because you're doing a lot of co-writing as well.
Co-writing, yeah. I've written with some local Toronto people like Murray Deagle, Bobby John, Devin Richard, Greg Kavanaugh, Hill Couturis.
Hmm.
Yeah, she actually played keys with Serena Ryder.
But you have to go to school, too, right?
And I have to go to school. Yeah. I have to learn, which starts in 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
So would you, if you were on a break, say you had a spare,
uh-huh.
would you have a pen and paper and an iPhone and you'd start?
I have my iPhone throughout the day.
Do the whole songwriting thing on the fly, kind of? Or do you have to be in the right mood at home?
To write a full song, I have to be in the right mood. You have to feel really inspired.
Yeah.
But
you ever get inspired in the middle of math class?
Yeah,
or
and I'll
and
write down.
You're jotting down lyrics.
I'm writing down lyrics and sentences on my iPhone. And I come home after school and I go to it and I maybe start writing something.
Cool.
So that
does
happens.
The teacher say, What are you writing over there?
Oh, I remember I handed in this science report, and on the back of it, I had my set list for a game. I remember that. There was like 8 songs on the back. She's like, what's this, Jules? I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. That's my set list for tomorrow night.
Don't mark it.
You know, it's funny. Lily Allen tells a story about that. She was always writing lyrics and writing songs in school.
Yeah.
And actually, her teacher actually said, you know, stop wasting your time, Lily Tomlin. You know, it's Lily. Actually pay attention. Right. Of course, she's a huge star now.
Yes.
We got a tweet in from Jeff Shaw. Knock 'em dead, Danny and I are listening. Thank you, Jeff.
Aw, thanks, Jeff. I'm so glad you're listening. All that warmed my heart.
So what's the first song that you're
going to
do?
I'm going to do a song. It's called Struck by You. Great. Can I just go right into it?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Issues, they can't sleep at night. You are the one thing on the mind. I can't stop thinking they haven't figured out this game you're playing. Ooh, it's not allowed. I see you, I see you, I see you.
Struck by You by Jules on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 in Toronto. That's a brilliant, classically written, perfect little pop song.
Muted guitar.
Yeah.
Reminded me of Jan Arden.
What a fantastic chorus, too. I mean, the chorus just...
I love muted
guitar. I am guilty at using muted guitar.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's beautiful.
I love it.
Do you know Jan Arden, her early stuff, they did a lot of that as a... as a way. She uses a lot of guitar. But it's such a great way to use the guitar as a rhythm instrument.
Yeah.
Because you've got the beat is set there, and it's so infectious. Like, it just draws you into the verse.
And it allows you actually to have great dynamics, because you can open it up for the chorus.
Yeah.
And it really lets the lyrics kind of come through.
And your chorus is great. It's great. And you did a cool little pre-chorus thing, because after verse 2, I'm not into pretty boys who lie. I see you, and no one's watching. So usually you brought the I see you in as a kind of pre-chorus, like bridge up to, right? Interesting that you had the bridge at the end.
Yeah.
How come? Like way back, almost at the end of the song, right?
Yeah, I do a closing chorus after the bridge. But you know what? I love bridges. And I think they're an awesome way to kind of, if it was a live gig, to bring the audience into it. Something that is more like repetitive so the audience could sing along. Because by like the fourth time you're still singing it, they're going to catch on. Like they're going to start to sing along.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was a great way to, at the end of the song, kind of bring that little other chorusy part into it.
Yeah. I don't think that's an unusual location for a bridge. It's usually, I mean, the typical structure is verse, chorus, bridge, chorus.
Oh, got it. Okay.
It's a normal thing.
It just seemed to come later.
Because the choruses are kind of longish.
The bridge lyric, I just wanted to ask you a question about, because the song is really about a guy who's playing a game, and I'm not that impressed, you're saying. I'm not really struck by you, right?
Yeah.
But then, who's got the tight jeans and the long hair? Is that the guy?
That's the guy. I mean, a lot of times people will kind of have two opinions. And a bridge is another way to bring another perspective into the song.
Yeah.
So
it's like the girl is saying, but maybe now tonight, that I look at you.
But it's like, it says like tight jeans, long hair, you're fine. Is it okay tonight? So it's kind of, she's just wondering like, okay, I know I don't really like this guy. He's kind of is annoying and doesn't, I don't like it, but is it okay for like one time, like one night? So,
yeah.
This is a very mature song, you know, Joel.
I mean, the way I kind of interpreted that bridge lyric was that, like, here's a guy, and this could apply on both sides. Here's a person that looks really good.
Yeah.
Right? But maybe, you know, that you got to know him a little bit, you actually didn't dig him. So the bridge was reflecting on how you're very attractive on the outside,
but
not so much on the inside. Which made me think that. If that was the case, then the lyric might have been, is that enough for tonight?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
The chorus is so hooky because it has like this really nice rhythm at the you want me crawling, but I see right through. I thought that was a really nice kind of rhythm to it. And just, you know, just hooks all over the place. It's really strong. Now, was this a co-write? Or
So I started writing it with a girl and then Robin DeLinto. And then we ended up not finishing and I finished it on my own. And she loves it. So I'm glad she likes it. And yeah, so it's co-written only about a quarter.
Right. So now, do you remember how you started, like, writing it? Are you a sort of a melody chords person first and then lyrics?
I'm kind of an all-around girl. This time, I just loved a name, Struck By You, because when you hear that word, the name Struck By You, you think it's about a girl being so struck by a guy. Like, oh, she must love this guy, but it's actually about not being struck by him.
That's the interesting thing you did with the title. His title is simply Struck By You.
Yeah.
But then in context is, stop, I'm not struck. Not struck by you.
Yeah, so I kind of liked that, and I wanted to go off that theme.
So you started off with a
title.
Right. Which is, I know, a Nashville.
That is thing. It's totally a Nashville thing. But I think there's many ways to write a song. I do it so many different ways, but this time I did it by a title.
It worked really well, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But the chorus is really fascinating and really well constructed because you've got rhymes all over the place, right? Like you got watching, crawling, falling in the middle of the line, and then at the end of the lines you got truth, through, and to.
I'm a rhyme police. It's great.
It's great because of those internal rhymes, like the ones in the middle of the line. Yeah. That's what really carries it.
I love that you're trying to get me to what girls want. I don't want. Like it's like playing with the one I don't want. But it is this tension between attraction and not really sure, right? And I think that's a really mature theme in the sense that we are attracted to people on some level that's like a gut level it's not necessarily sexual, but it's like chemistry is happening, but then over some time of discussion and that, and you go, they're kind of full of themselves.
Exactly. You know, I wrote that as me too. Like, I'm not into the whole, like, one of the lines in there is, I don't need like a pretty boy. And that's me, you know, like the whole song's about like, I don't need you to be some big shot guy that all the girl wants. You know, this is a really me song. So what girls want, I don't want. Like, I'm not struck by you.
So is it about somebody and would you like to say their full name on the radio?
It's not about anyone. That's me. I'm just
cool. When you were writing this, did you have to sort of go through and really kind of work on the lines to kind of get them all polished up?
Not going to lie, that chorus took me forever to write.
Oh.
Because I started off and I had the first two lines with like the in-between rhyme, like the falling and crawling.
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure out the third rhyme.
Right.
Oh, so I was like, well, And I wrote them, like, by accident. I didn't mean to have two rhymes in the sentence, but it happened.
And you just felt that it was...
It felt right. So when I got to that third line, I was like, oh, wait, I have to come up with another rhyme. So I did, but it took me a while, but I love it now. So
I mean, how are you handling that? Do you just kind of sort of hum when you get to that point, or...?
I'll leave it. If I can't figure something out after, like, 10 minutes of looking at it, I'll leave the situation for a bit and come back, and then I'll probably, with new ears.
Or the next day.
Next day, even. I'll come back, and I'll figure it out the next day, or maybe another
day. But you'll never leave it if you're not happy with it.
Yeah.
You'll always work at it.
Yeah.
Until you get something you like.
I'm just not into the whole thing. Like, I don't like forcing it. So if I'm not feeling it that day while I'm down there working on the song, I'll leave it, and I'll come back in two days, one day, just with new ears, so I get a new
perspective. So are you doing any solo writes, or is it all co-writes at the moment?
I do solo writes a lot. I do co-writes, sometimes with three people, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, wow.
I'm really into co-writes. I think it's awesome. I think you get a better song sometimes when you're with another person because you're bouncing ideas off of them, and they'll spark an idea that you would have never thought of, but then you end up working on it. I think it's co-writes are amazing.
Oh, by the way, we just got an email from Sharon. Jules is a jewel. Songwriting, singing, playing. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon.
I got a couple notes. I really liked in the end of the chorus when you go stop and you actually stopped.
Yeah,
it's a nice little touch, right? It's like kind of obvious, maybe, but
it's like, yeah,
it works.
It works, right?
I was scared it was gonna be a cliche, but I like it.
I don't think so.
That's what I'm saying.
So.
I think it works.
I think it works really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thought I had, actually, your pre-chorus, I see you, I thought was a little. Anti what the message of the song was, because if I see you, I would interpret more like I see you. Like when people say I see you, it's typically in terms of an attraction, not a repulsion.
I didn't get it that way.
You didn't get it that way?
I got it as I see right through you.
Well, and that's what I was going to suggest. Yeah. Like, what if you did I see you, I see right through you.
Yeah, I saw it. I like it how, like, you guys see how, like, both of you thought in different ways. Like, I kind of like that. And I actually see it as I see you with all these girls. So we all see it different ways, and that's why I like those, like, pre-choruses where it's up to interpretation sort of thing.
I see what you're up to.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. So that's what I wrote it as.
I can see that interpretation too, for sure.
I like the fact, though, that you had to work at the chorus, because I think sometimes, you know, we've had people come in here and, you know, sometimes some of the lines are not as strong as they could be.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with actually stopping and going through your work and saying, this line isn't as strong. And sometimes you have to come back to it four or five times. And
yeah, not going to lie. Like, I'm a perfectionist when it comes to lyrics, because I don't want to just settle on a song. You know, if I feel like, oh, it's such a great idea of a song, and I don't want to leave it and be, oh, it's a pretty good song. I want it to be great.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because you have to sing it over and over again.
Exactly. So if I hate it, then you're all going to hate it.
So it's all bad for bands that become a huge... you know, they have a huge hit that they actually hate, and they have to play that song over and over.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or they didn't write.
Avoid that.
when you were working on this chorus, was it melody first, lyrics first, or kind of at the same time? Do you remember?
Same time.
Because it's a catchy melody. Like I'm just getting at, like, you worked hard at the lyric.
Oh, it was
to get it until it was perfect. Did you work that hard on the melody?
It was actually lyrics first. I had a different melody at the beginning. I remember that. And I changed the melody.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't remember
the old melody. Sorry.
It wasn't as catchy?
No, I don't remember it. remember it.
Then
how would anyone?
Wasn't.
That's a great way of looking at it.
Can I give a grammar comment?
Yes.
Okay.
So one of the things, and this is only theory, it's not necessarily written in stone, is that if you were to read your lyrics aloud with no music, would they make sense as prose, right?
Uh-huh.
So it wouldn't, you say want you want me, but this I don't buy.
Yeah, that's really bad grammar there. To be honest,
It works, though.
Yeah. So I'm not big on that. And I think if it sings well and it does make sense,
then it's fine.
It's fine.
I think that's fine.
If it was the chorus, maybe, where it's the part repeating over again, I would say then maybe try to fix it.
My favorite example of that was Madonna's song, Papa Don't Preach. I'm in trouble deep.
Yeah.
What? I'm in trouble deep?
I'm in deep trouble.
I'm in deep trouble, right? So she wanted a rhyme. Don't preach deep, right? So somebody
wrote it. I would sort of say, like, you know, geez, I'm really in trouble. Deep.
Well, but anyway, but you know, it's just a theory, as I say, because you can break all the rules once you know them. They can break all the rules of music all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's breaking or bending the rule that makes it really interesting.
And I think, too, like, music is very, it's stylistic. So if you can say something and you can say it cool, like we said earlier.
Yeah.
If it works when you say it, why not?
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
And, you know, talking about saying cool things, Neil, why don't you tell us about something cool?
I think I will. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto and streamed at songtalk.ca/livestream. Tonight, our guest is Jules. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so please tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio or via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and we'll share your thoughts in real time. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, we have on September 6th, Jacob Moon. On September 13th, Alyssa Baker. And on September 20th, one of our theme shows, Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Chords.
That's
and we're going to have a special co-host that day, Frank Horvat, who's been on the show before. Spectacular piano player.
Very chordy guy.
And very steeped in theory. He knows all the theory.
Teacher,
he's a music teacher, he knows it all.
Wow. Yeah, so the idea for that show is by the end of that show, if you come across like a G minor ninth flat fifth, you'll know exactly what it is and how to play it.
Cool.
That's great.
And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup. That's on Sunday, September the 25th at 1 p.m. That's in at the Transat Club in the Annex area of Toronto. Get off at Spadina or Bathurst Station.
Yeah.
It's on Brunswick Street. And it's free to join on Meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all the details and let us know you're coming.
Yes. It's always good fun. We actually just had one on...
we had one last Thursday.
Thursday, yes.
Yeah, it was a good turnout. Lots of variety, lots of interesting people, a lot of newbies.
Yes.
Every time we have this meetup, there's new people showing up at the door, which is really cool.
And it's such a great atmosphere. I mean, it's just... You know, everyone's supportive, but it's, you know, you actually learn something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know,
it's cool.
Sometimes you go to open mic and just people are playing, and that's fine. But I mean, you know, like at the end, you're not, apart from maybe being inspired, I don't think you learn that much.
Yeah. And the audience actually pays attention to the performer. And if they don't, I yell at them.
Yes.
Right. Good job.
I just go, this is not a nightclub.
Yeah.
Be quiet. This is a workshop. This is not a sharing. No, I mean...
I'm just saying, that's a good song title for a song.
Oh, thanks.
But the thing is, people
start talking amongst themselves while the performer is singing their one song they brought in to showcase for us to give feedback. And I just go, hey, chill, because we're here for the performer, right? And that's what I like. I like open mics where they protect the performer from the audience.
Yeah, I've been to a few of those.
Free times is great for that.
And the people there appreciate it more, too, because everyone's actually listening and...
I always feel, especially if someone is just with them and a guitar, it's, you know, you have to kind of give them more respect.
Yeah.
But if it's a band, then it's not, you know, there's more kind of a volume thing there, so it's not, you don't have to pay maybe quite as much attention.
You're not competing with them as much. When it's just a guitar, I mean, on a table that's talking loud, like you're competing with the guitar players.
Yeah, it's harder, for sure.
So how are you finding these people to co-write with?
I love it. They're easy, Sorry.
Find
I thought you meant how am I finding, like, working with them? How am I finding
Where
them?
Where do you find them?
Bruce.
What?
You moved the mic.
I moved the mic. It's okay. Okay. It's not television.
Okay, perfect.
Nobody is live.
I'm finding them. Actually, my mom is awesome. My mom, she finds a lot. My new manager has been finding me a lot. Then once you find one person, they recommend you to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So once you've got like your main five, they introduce you to more people.
Networking.
Right. Yeah.
Now, when you're starting these co-writing, do you actually sit down and sort of, is everyone sort of on the same page about like how it's going to work? I mean, in terms,
because
I know some people always worry about, you know, rights and who owns what and stuff.
You make it, when you go in, I'll say, hey, do you want to start something that I've already started or do you want to start something completely fresh? And when you say completely fresh, you know, okay, we're splitting it half, 50-50 each. And if there's three, you do 33%. So that's what you kind of, when you first go in, and then it just goes from there. But that's what I like to ask them, too. I have an idea on my phone, and that I have, like, a verse and a chorus. Do you want to work off that? If they say yes, then obviously, because I already have a lot of the song there, they just won't get as much of the credit, or vice versa, I won't get as much as the credit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that in writing at this at that stage of the songwriting? Is it in writing in a contract?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it's not. It's not. After. When the song's done, basically.
Then you decide.
Yes.
Because you got to do that before you release it. Otherwise, you get into all kinds of trouble.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, but you don't sit there and so that – is there some sort of understanding beforehand? Because, you know, sometimes there can be some misunderstandings if
– I think a lot of times now there's no misunderstandings. It's very obvious.
These aren't band members. Like, a lot of the trouble has been when a bass player or a lead guitar in a band and the singer is the star, the lead singer is the star, they'll come back and say, but I was in rehearsal with you working on that song, working out the chord progression, right? But you're working directly with a songwriter, not a band member, right?
There's been some issues with bands, too, because as a band, you're all supposed to have equal share in the music. Mm-hmm. But if there's, like, two people that are the songwriters, they all get splits, though. So there can be issues there sometimes.
Mm. Well, I know, because, you know, the Hookers always had, you know, we always agreed everything was...
Could you explain that, Phil?
The Hookers. The Parkdale Hookers, my band.
That was Phil's band, the Parkdale Hookers.
Parkdale Hookers.
Yeah, he's not talking about Hookers. It's before 9 o'clock.
It was a three-piece, but we always sort of agreed that it was shared equally, no matter who brought in what song.
Okay.
And it's true, because I think, you know, the guys definitely, you know... what they brought to it actually really changed the song.
Yeah.
So they kind of gave it energy. And I know the Tragically Hip, actually, they share songwriting duties equally amongst them all. Mm-hmm. But Chrissy Hynde made an interesting point. The same point is that, you know, especially at the very beginning of a band's career, everyone's sort of gung-ho and everyone's into it. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, a couple of people start kind of slacking off, and then it's like the two people are writing all the songs, and then the other two people are just kind of sort of showing up. So it can be kind of, I guess it's just something to think about.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Sloan works that way as well, because all four of them are songwriters.
Yeah.
That's good when they're all songwriters.
Yeah.
But some of them, I think a couple of them write more songs than the other ones. Yeah. But I think they look at it that way too, is that everyone's contributing to the arrangements and maybe making suggestions here and there. So they just share everything four ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's just easier.
Keep it simple. Yeah.
Have you been writing songs with your band?
I don't really have a band per se. Mm-hmm. I have some musicians that I'll call up when I need like a band for that gig specifically, but I'm a solo artist.
But when you call upon those musicians, do they bring something additional? Do they say, well, what if we change this chord here and whatever, that sort of thing?
Yeah, like, for the live performance, they might maybe want to change the arrangement sometimes, but that doesn't really affect the actual song itself. So not really.
Mm. So you're holding on to that control of the song itself and open to different ideas to interpret it.
And also, if I'm playing it live too, right, maybe a song that I haven't released yet, I kind of want people, if they like the song live, I want to buy it. But I don't want them to be disappointed if I play it completely different live and then they want to buy it and it's, oh my gosh, this song is completely different.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
You run into that. I mean, if you're like Justin Bieber and you're playing a song completely different, it's okay, but when people don't really know my music right now,
in this case, you've heard the radio cut already.
Yeah,
that's always been a problem. Actually, you know, I've seen some bands that I just thought were fantastic, you know, live in the club, and then you buy their CD, and it's just like, you know, it doesn't have that kind of magic. So it can be.
And I'm really into the live performance, so I think it's really good to kind of keep the song there.
Right.
Yeah. Since you're involved in all these co-writes and stuff, do you actually go to somebody else for feedback when a song's complete?
Not going to lie, my family is a big...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes, they give me their opinion all the time. I like knowing what they think, because they want the best for me, right? So they're not going to lie to me. They're going to give me their honest opinions. Producer will have an input when you're actually producing the song. They'll give their input here and there. And if you like it, you'll take it. And you'll take it with a grain of salt sometimes. And
Have you had to fight for something that you knew in your heart was right and everybody else was saying, no, you've got to change that?
Yeah, there's some songs, too, where I'm like, no, this song needs to happen. I love this song. Right now I'm writing for the new EP coming out in the spring, and there's some songs that I'm definitely going to fight for because I love them so much. So I will definitely have to be fighting, but I have fought in the past, too.
Right. Now, for your EP, how many songs is it going to be?
I think we're going to aim for 6 or 7.
Right. So is now, is there, with the factors, is there some kind of is there like a minimum number of songs you have to do, or?
No, they give you the specific amount, and then you can record however many songs you can within that specific amount of money. So it's up to you.
Should we hear another song?
I think we should, yes. So what's the next song?
This song is called Back In.
You want any setup for it at all, or just going to play it?
I'm just going to play it.
Okay, that's That's cool. Well, we're just setting up a little technical thing. Okay, we're ready to roll.
Perfect. Okay.
That was Back In by Jules on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 in Toronto. What a brilliant song! Oh. I love the way you handled the verses, where you had the sort of the long notes and then sort of the more rhythmic sort of second half of the lines. That's really, really tight.
I got to know. Again, same question. Did you come up with melody or lyric first for those verses?
Because
the melody is really kind of interesting and original.
It's both.
It's both.
It kind of all comes together. I guess when I'm kind of singing melodies, I'll also mumble words. So then I'll...
Do some doo-doo-doos or whatever.
And then I'll come up with like lying, and then I'll sing that, and it kind of fits. So it's everything together.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
One doesn't come first for me.
Because it actually isn't easy to tell.
No,
it does seem very balanced between
exactly.
the two.
Exactly.
Yeah, like it doesn't seem like someone who like the lyrics are strong, but it's not like, you know, you've taken a, sometimes people take a poem and they kind of cram it into a song.
Yeah.
And it feels that kind of way. And it feels really
well constructed.
But yeah, there's like I've you know, on the way to the show, I always have my iPod in, and I'm always listening to the songs of our guests. And there's something about this song which is really interesting. Your bridge at the end is really, really catchy. Like the first half before you go high, that is so incredibly catchy.
I told you I love bridges.
Now, bridges are good, but I'm thinking it's a shame to just use that once. I think you could put like the first, you know, the, where you're doing the low lines at the end of the chorus twice, because that is such a hooky line.
Yeah, you maybe.
Know? Or at the end of the first time the chorus comes along, I mean.
Both yeah, you know, because it's
well, sort of like a post-chorus.
Let you go. Yeah, because it's like it is just so hooky. It really kind of grabbed me.
It's not a bad idea.
See, so I loved that bridge. Right. The only thing that I want people to hear when they listen to the song is, oh, I love that bridge. So if you put it in too much throughout the song,
yeah, that's an interesting question.
It's kind of okay. I've heard it, so I don't need to listen to the song again. But if you only have it that one section and. Like
well,
you were saying.
Consider this, though. I mean, in the bridge, you repeat it 8 times.
Yeah.
If you repeat it twice at the end of the first chorus and twice at the end of the second chorus, you've only done it 4 times. It's actually less.
Right.
Or, because I think because you.
And a spaced apart.
Because, I mean, the hookiest part of it is the, wanted you to know, so I'll let you go. That's you know, that's an incredible hook. You do that, and then at the end, you still do your bridge again. Mm-hmm. But then do when you do the high stuff, because that was, it's such a great, it's such a. Yeah, it's tough, though. I mean, when you have that strong hook, do you. Do you plunk it in every chorus, or do you save it for once?
Yeah, that's a big question I think songwriters go through.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, it's very gutsy to do a line 8 times in a row, and you handled it because you built it. You built it in terms of you went up the octave, and you also built in terms of intensity, in terms of guitar and all that. However, it's pretty gutsy to say to the listener, you're going to hear this 8 times, and then they're going to listen to it again. The next time they want to hear the song, it's going to be 8 times. What was your thinking in that?
I also, I'm just playing with a guitar here, so I think as a listener, when they're listening to it as a full production and the band, the band could be doing something cool. I think it's a really interesting section where it builds, right? So it's kind of, the listener wants to hear more sort of thing. So is it going to build more? Is it not going to build at all? I think it's a very catchy part of the song where...
Well, you know what I was going to say in reflecting on it is that the fact that it's repetitive allows the listener to relax because you're very lyric heavy through the rest of the tune, right? It's almost like an instrumental break, except it has lyrics because the lyric is repetitive. You don't have to think. You just feel the flow of that lyric, right? So I think it serves really, really well as it is. And I think I'm all for breakdowns. Like, and this is a bit of a breakdown because you're not challenged lyrically here as a listener, right? You're just grooving.
And
it
kind of sums up the whole song, too, the lyrics. Yeah. Like, I'm letting you go, so bye, sort of thing. It's, it's basically summing up this whole song, like
powerful,
you said, not thinking.
It's a very powerful message, isn't
it? Have you ever worked with modulations very much?
No, I haven't.
Because you come back in after the bridge, you just go back to the chorus. You could, like, if you did, like, a tone raise, it kind of would separate...
Like a key change sort of thing.
And you can make it that kind of big. Because it is a great chorus. So you could do that kind of big, you know, kind of anthem-y thing. I like it. It changes the kind of feel of the song.
Yeah. But,
you know. Well, when you're producing this thing, this is one of the songs for your new EP, right?
I hope. I'm not
but
sure
do you,
yet.
But do you envision this being electric with bass and drums and everything?
Yeah, I find it – I kind of want it to be groovy.
Yeah,
and I'm I love guitar-driven songs and drum-driven songs.
Yeah,
so
this one feels like
it would work well. Exactly. So maybe at the end there, I could build it. So you're still getting that bigger feeling chorus at the end, just with more instruments and a higher guitar line or something.
I suggest tom-toms.
Toms.
Lots of
you
toms.
You have to.
Lots of toms.
That bridge part, it's and like, boom. It's asking for it.
It's asking for
octagons.
It.
Octagons, baby. But
yeah, it's such a cool song because it's, I don't know. We've rarely had someone. This has nothing to do with your age. So, age aside, I've rarely heard someone with such maturity in their songwriting and such craft on the show. We've had lots of very, very talented writers on, but when you add the fact that you're at 15 now, I'm so looking forward to what's going to happen in your career, because you're just going to get better and better. Like, and it's going to be amazing.
Thank you so much. And
amazing.
I've heard that I'm a little more mature in my music, and yeah. I think that a lot of people my age are thinking or asking the same questions that I am. It's the point of actually writing it. I'm not afraid to kind of express my feelings or my opinions, and I think that's what kind of makes it more mature, because I'm saying things that most people my age are thinking or feeling, but I'm kind of the one actually saying
it. Or they might have trouble actually kind of putting that into words.
They're putting it into words, that's the thing.
So, how do your contemporaries respond? Like your friends at high school, do they like your tunes?
Oh, they love them. Actually, my friend a few days ago was calling me and was singing my song on the phone. So they'll come to my gigs and support me and stuff. So they love it. Sometimes I'll find maybe I'm a little more mature.
Yeah. Is that your audience?
I was just wondering what's it like to actually work with a producer? Can you sort of talk about that process?
Yeah, I love it. I think because they've been in the industry longer than I have, so obviously. So they'll give me their opinions, and I can kind of grow and learn. It's a very big learning process right now.
So when you bring them a song, what's that process like?
So I'll bring them right now I'm just writing a bunch of songs, and it's like put into the catalog sort of thing.
Right.
And then when we pick songs, if we're going to pick six, we pick six, and we kind of just talk about what could we do with the song. Like, we're talking here, the drums at this part, guitar part here, we kind of talk about that.
Right.
And then kind of the ones that we could see on radio, or like the ones that could actually make it.
The hit. Right. And do you talk about mood, emotion, tone, style, all that stuff?
Style is a huge thing. I mean, if finding your sound too, a producer, their job and their role, I would say, is to really make sure that you are in the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
a producer can totally remake you.
Exactly.
So you want to be kind of careful about that.
Yeah, and you have to, as an artist, I would say, because producers, like, they're not you, right? You are the advocate for yourself, so you have to be clear on what you want. Because the producer, I mean, they have so many ideas, right? They're a producer. They're supposed to make the song. They can make the song sound like five different ways, you know? Yeah. So you have to be clear on what you want and what you want to sound
like. Have you had those conversations with your management and with your parents about your brand? Like, who is Jules? And so, ergo, what can you, like, it's your job to communicate to the producer who you are, right?
Yeah.
And then it's their job to understand who you are and make sure that comes forward.
The big thing is, like, what's your sound? So in the last, I would say, 8 months to a year, have been really finding my sound. And that's what you really have to make clear to your manager and your team. They need to know what your direction is. So, I mean, I would say that I'm a little bit of Imagine Dragons, the 1975, a little bit of Shawn Mendes, a little bit of Paramore. Mm. A little bit of James Bay, kind of all of those mixed together into a sound sort of thing.
Right. So you use other artists as an
example. That's a great way. Yeah. And other great way is to find specific songs of them. Because think, Paramore, they have about five albums. Not all five albums sound the same, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you really have to find specific songs and specific like situations where that's kind of the vision that you want.
Well, and it's hard to talk about music because, you know, without actually using some kind of a reference, because saying, you know, you can say, I want it really, you know, powerful, and that word can mean something totally different.
It's the same thing when you say, I want to sound like Paramore. I mean, like, a lot of people like Paramore for a bunch of different reasons.
Exactly.
Like, what is it about Paramore?
But it's one song.
That's why you have to find a specific song and examples.
And even then, a specific element of that song. I really like the beat in that song, and that's
what
I'm
saying. You have to get really specific. You have to, like, dig deep, or else it's going to be too open.
And different producers have different styles. They do different things kind of naturally.
And that's why finding a fit. You have to find the fit. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting down with like six different producers, and you know what? You just have to find the one that you really mesh with.
Yeah, and who you feel comfortable with.
You feel comfortable because also, if you don't feel comfortable with them, to give your opinion. I mean, if I don't like something, I have to feel comfortable to say it to you, sort of thing, you know?
And it can be a weird situation. You can feel actually under pressure to kind of, you know, because they'll say, well, you know, I want to do this way, and he says, oh, you should do it that way. And you go, okay, well, you know more than I do, so you'll kind of go along with them, even though that's not what you want.
That's what happened in my first one a bit. I mean, I was really looking, and I was really listening to the producer, and sometimes I was like, oh, they know, right?
Because
I was kind of taking under their wing, yeah, sort of thing. And I wasn't really advocating for myself.
Well, and the first, when you first start, you don't really know.
Exactly.
You know, you're just going, well, you know, you need to do this. You go, okay, I guess. You know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trust there.
Yeah.
And now you have more educated opinions and educated thoughts. And,
oh, yeah. Opinions.
For
yeah,
the EP, have you thought, okay, I need to do write like 15 songs. We'll take six of those. Do you have like any kind of a goal
I'm
that way?
I'm aiming for about 20 to 25.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, is the reason you're stuck at seven, is that just because like of funding situation? Is that what you can afford to?
Yeah, for the most part. And also, I mean, albums right now aren't very in.
Yeah, no. That's true.
Full albums, 12, like there's some like 14 songs. Those aren't really in right now.
Yeah.
It's singles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why put out a 10-song album when really you're only going to use like five or six of them?
Well, everyone's like doing vinyl now too.
Oh, I am asking for a vinyl record player for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Dad, if you're listening.
Well, they're actually pretty cheap now, so it's not so bad. But
yeah. They all come with USB ports now.
There's like Bluetooth ones now.
Yeah, yeah, Bluetooth vinyl. How does that work?
I don't know. I've heard the cassettes are coming back.
The cassettes are coming back too.
So Bruce has his hand up. Yes.
Yeah. Where are you performing next? Where we could go and see you play?
That's when on my website.
And tell us your website.
www.julesmusic.ca.
Jules Music, J-U-L-E-S.
Yes,
JULESmusic.com.
CA.
Don't forget the CA.
Yes.
And we're tweeting that out, and that'll be on our website. Right?
And I am
performing at Indie Week.
Oh.
The only thing is, I don't know dates and when and where.
When is Indie Week?
That's...
You don't know.
I don't. So...
Mm. Okay.
I know it's November. I just don't know exactly.
Okay. So sometime in November.
So it'll be on your site, though.
Yeah. And we'll actually make sure.
That's the best thing to do.
And we'll make sure that we tweet it out to you.
Yeah. Twitter.
To people, you know?
Hit me up on Twitter.
And you're on Twitter, too.
Yeah. At It's Jules Music.
Yes. Because, you know, I think I'm hearing the band coming in because that is all the time. We have tonight on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. We'd like to thank our guests for coming back to us, Jules.
Thank you so much. Thanks,
and
guys.
And I take it as just as a given that we will get free tickets to the ACC performance.
I got you.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. Okay.
VIP.
That's okay. Yeah. It's now legal because it's on the air, so it's now a legal binding contract.
Yeah.
Send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and we'll read them right out here. Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site at songtalk.ca. Also, subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on iTunes at songtalk.ca/iTunes. And don't forget to visit our site at songtalk.ca and sign up for our free newsletter, which will come up real soon, Neil, I promise. You can find links to all the products, books, and services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio at our resources page at songtalk.ca/resources. If you're in the Toronto area, please join us for the next Songwriters Roundtable meetup on Thursday, August 25th.
September 25th.
Sunday, September, of course. What the heck? It's free to join the meetup and free to attend the roundtable. Stop by songtalk.ca/meetup for all those details. And we'd like to thank CJRU 1280 in Toronto for putting up with all the shenanigans. And we'd like to thank Janice Ho for manning the social media channels. Thank you.
Womaning.
And most of all,
we'd
like to thank Nicole for manning the board. Thank you, Nicole.
Womaning.
Nicole. And we'd like to thank you, the home listener. If you are on Twitter, you can follow Neil at
Mondo Arts.
You can follow Bruce at
Bruce Harrett.
You can follow me at the Phil Emery. You can follow Janice
at Janice O'Tweet.
And Nicole at And, of course, you can always get more stuff from Jules at...
It's Jules Music.
That's right. And please stop by the website at songtalk.ca to browse past shows and find out if you can be a guest on this very show. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and we will see you the same time next week. Good night, everyone.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Bye.